Most of us are familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found in Daniel chapter 3. If someone would ask you, what is that story about? What would you tell them? Would you tell them it's a love story about love? What does love have to do with that story? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life. Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages out of the book of Daniel. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to Daniel chapter 3 as we take a look in the book.
Praise you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts in a mighty, mighty way, so that the lost can be saved. The saved can be encouraged. Backsliders can come back to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Come on and put your hands together. Praise the Lord. God is worthy to be praise. We do want to thank the Lord for all of our children, how they're blessing us. They've been blessing us. Amen. Didn't they bless us this morning? I say, didn't they bless us this morning? Amen. Amen. It's always good to see the children doing something for the Lord. Amen. This is our future, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And I think we got a good promising future. Amen. Come on, yeah, put your hands together for the kids. Amen. Amen. We have to be thankful. Some churches you go in, they don't have nobody younger than 20 in there. And so we are thankful to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. All right. Put a Bible in your hand and stand to your feet and let's recite our Bible covenant. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, look there in that pew rack and get you a Bible, because I like to preach out the Bible. Amen. Amen. Hold it up like you're not ashamed and repeat after me. This is the Word of God. If I obey it, blessings will come. If I disobey it, curses will come. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. I can do what it tells me to do through the power of God. This is God's idea. I believe that God's idea is the best idea. I'm committed to the biggest thing. The highest thing, the greatest thing, the best thing, which is obeying God. Therefore, my mind is made up. My heart is fixed. My spirit is ready to receive the Word of God that will transform my life. Amen. Now open up the Word of God to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. When you find it, say, I got it. Some of you are still turning. If you haven't found it by now, just let the table content be your friend. Daniel chapter 3. I want to look at that chapter. I want to read to you verses 16 through 18. That'll be enough to get us started. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And it reads like this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want to talk this morning on the subject, what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? High five somebody and tell them pastor gonna talk about what's love. What's love? What's love got to do with it? The singer Tina Turner used to sing a song entitled, What's Love Got to Do with It? Because many people get involved in a relationship that has nothing to do with love, but has everything to do with lust. Y'all gonna go with me, I'm gonna have to go by myself. And many people have confused love and lust. This coming Thursday, our country will be celebrating Valentine's Day. A day that is set aside to tell your loved one, I love you. I can recall in elementary school, we used to pass out Valentine's cards. All the boys would get cards, and they would try to find a girl to give the card to so that the girl could be their Valentine. And most of the boys would often aim for the prettiest girl in the class. And if they traded cards, they was each other's Valentine. But most of the time, the pretty girl, you know, she could take her pick. And so most of the guys, they was left to not really have anybody to be their Valentine. So in order to not have nobody to be your Valentine, you wasn't too choicy. you just went on and just found the girl to trade with you. And soon as that girl traded with you, then at least you could go around bragging that so-and-so was my Valentine. Because the worst thing that could happen is you, at the end of the school day, nobody traded with you and you didn't have a Valentine. So trading the Valentine cards didn't have really nothing to do with love. It had to do more with being lonely. You just didn't want to be lonely. You just didn't want to be by yourself. And so you just went on and traded with somebody. Regardless how she looked, you were just happy to have a Valentine. You know, one of the problems that we have in our world today is people are hooking up and they're getting married for the wrong reasons. See, a lot of folks done got married because they was lonely. They didn't get married because they was really in love. Or they got married because they was in lust. They was like a dog in heat and they went on and they got married. They got married for the wrong reason. And even though they are not in a good loving relationship, they often ask the question, well, what love got to do with it anyway? As long as he's paying the bills, as long as I got a roof over my head, as long as he's giving me some money to drive the car with, what love got to do with this thing? Well, if you're going to have a happy marriage, a happy hookup, then love got everything to do. As a matter of fact, every relationship is founded on love. As a matter of fact, every relationship has got to be grounded in the vertical relationship. As a matter of fact, every relationship ought to be a cross. Did you hear what I said? I said every relationship, it ought to be a cross. In other words, in order for the horizontal relationship to work, you got to first have the vertical relationship to work. See, the horizontal, if you ain't got nothing tied to it, it's just waiting to fall. You got to have it braced where it can be propped up by the vertical relationship. It's got to be grounded in God. And if your relationship is not grounded by the vertical relationship in God, it's just an accident waiting to happen. It's got to be grounded, rooted and grounded in God. So love has everything to do with our relationship. Matter of fact, even in this story here, this whole story is all about love. I know when you look at it, it don't look like it has anything to do with love, but this story is all about love. I know when you look at this story, you just see it dealing with peer pressure. Oh, and if I was going to talk to just the children today, I probably would just talk about peer pressure, because on the surface, that's what this story is all about. It's all about peer pressure on the surface. But I know Bible Way folks, they want to go a little bit deeper than just what's on the surface. And so if we're going to get all the way down to the root, then all the way down to the root, this story is dealing with love. Matter of fact, I want to give you three things this morning. Can I take three things off the wagon this morning? And I want you to see three things about this story. First, it's a story that teaches us how God's people love God in the past. How God's people love God in the past. The Bible says that this great king, King Nebuchadnezzar, that he made an image of gold. It was 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. Oh, this was an awesome image, and he put it out there in the desert, and he called the meeting of all the people to come. Now, this is not our first time meeting Nebuchadnezzar. We've been talking about this king from chapter 1, chapter 2. Remember, he was the king that had that bad dream that we preached about the other week, and how he saw this awesome stature of a man, and the head was gold, and the chest and the shoulders were silver, and the belly and the thighs was brass, and the legs was iron, and the feet was iron and clay. And Daniel told him that you are the head of gold. And it must have went to his head, because now he done built this whole statue of gold, 90 feet high. And he began to have a dedication service. And the Bible says in verse 2 how he called all of his officials. All the big shots came there. He sent for the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriff, and all of the rulers of the province. He called them to come there to the dedication service. And once they got there to the dedication service, see, folks don't always tell you what they're getting ready to do. But once they got there to the dedication service, the Bible says in verse number 4, then he sent out the king's herald. He sent out the preacher, and he told him, now, when y'all hear all the music playing, when you hear the cornets, the flutes, the harps, and the sawdusters, when you hear all the kind of music playing, then I want you to bow down and worship this image. How many of you know that there is a connection between politics and religion? Yeah, a person do their politics based on their religion. You can't separate your politics and your religion. Your belief system, that's your religion, controls your politics, which is your behavior. And the Bible says that he called a meeting of all the big shots. And the Bible says when all of them got there, that when the music started playing, that everybody bowed down. Now, he was very clear. He said, if you don't bow down, then I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And so the King Herod was very clear. He was letting you know that this is not a suggestion, and this is not an option, but this is the king command. And so when the music started playing, everybody started bowing down. Can't you imagine that the princes bowed down, and the governors bowed down, the captains bowed down, the judges bowed down, all of the treasurers bowed down, the counselors bowed down, the sheriffs bowed down, all of the rulers of all of the providence, all of them bowed down. Everybody bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now that's peer pressure, ladies and gentlemen. I say that's peer pressure. When they saw all of the government officials, everybody that worked for the government except them, bound down, that's peer pressure. When they saw the princes bound down, the governors bound down, the captains bound down, the judges bound down, the treasurers bound down, the counselors bound down, the sheriff bound down, the rulers of the providence bound down, everybody bound down except them, that's peer pressure. When you see all the big shots bound down, that's peer pressure. When you see the who's who in the community bound down, that's peer pressure. When you see all the leaders in the community bound down, that's peer pressure. But even though there was a lot of peer pressure, they still didn't bow down. And somebody that was bound down must have been peeking up. You always got somebody that's in a crowd that's not minding their own business. Because you got some telltales that was there at the meeting. The Bible says they ran and told the king. And notice now, verse number 12. They told the king, they said, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, listen, they got the name. They was taking names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Somebody ought to say jealousy.
Jealousy.
You can always tell jealous folks. Did you notice how they behave, how they approach the king? How did they approach the king? They approached the king by first pulling the race card. Oh, that went right over somebody's head there. Did you see? You know when the haters done came out, when the haters start looking at the race and start calling the race card out, they hate you. Did you notice that? They didn't say, we got some folks in the kingdom. They say, we got some Jews. Some Jews that you done appointed. And notice they tried to make this thing personal. Did you notice that? They say, oh king, they have no regards for thee. They serve not even your God. They don't have no respect for you. And they don't have no respect for your God. They don't even have no respect for your image that you done set up, king. Oh, man, they done got the king upset. And you don't want to make a king upset because a king has absolute authority. Notice the Bible says, verse number 13, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. But what I like about the king, he just didn't go on and throw them in the fire right there. Did you notice that? Verse number 14, let us know he called them in first and questioned. In other words, he just didn't take of what those gossipers were saying. How many of you know you need to get it from the horse's mouth before you just start running off and hating on somebody? Notice the king said in verse number 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true? I just want to know, is it true? Tell me right quick, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the light,
sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.